let's see here. Let's get going here tonight. A couple weeks ago, I just felt like the Holy Spirit wanted us, and it's usually not a Sunday night thing that we teach on. If I teach on love or the issues of the love walk, it's usually a Sunday morning type thing. But I knew what God had us on Sunday mornings, and I just really felt like, do it now. And so I knew we had an availability in the evening, on Sunday evening. So I thought, all right, that must be where he wants us at. So we got going, and we started in the area of offense. Holy Spirit's been showing me a lot of that. Matter of fact, it was the week after the Super Bowl, so it's earlier in February that the Lord started showing me that there's some things that are part of the world system that we can't let in here. Doc's been talking about it on during offerings on Sunday nights about there's no place in the body of Christ for a complaint department. If you don't like how things are, God gives you ways to change it. If you don't like how your finances are, don't complain about it. Give different. Give more. Make sure you're tithing. Check it out. If you don't like the way certain things are going on in your life, change your faith. And that's the main problem is that we're living in a time and day that if I don't like how things are going, I want you to change. And God says there's a good chance if things aren't going the way you want them to go, it's a you problem, not everybody else problem. And so he gives you the keys to change it up. And again, if you don't like your financial status, it's not because God doesn't have promises for you. You need to just change. You need to examine the way you're giving, examine your faith, examine all that kind of stuff, and you can change what you get by changing what you do. And so that's kind of where I just feel is that there's no complaint department. You just got, there's a change department. Amen. And so that's kind of how I've been going in this thing is I started in that area of offense. And again, it's just a matter of, let's go to Matthew 24. We it's kind of been our springboard verse in this. Hopefully we'll get done with what I had. I thought I was done last time that last time I taught on this, and there was just one thing that I had pulled off that I had copied and I'd studied and kind of etched out that I didn't get to, and I kept thinking, but it's really good, it's really good, and I kept thinking I'm going to ignore it, and then I kept going back to it and going, but it's really good, it's really something that just kind of is we need to at least go over. So I figure that this is, we'll move on to other areas of this, because I believe God's calling us. God wants us, they will know you're my disciples by your love. And there's a lot of the church that is looking way too much like the world right now. And we can start pointing out, the sins. We can start pointing out the stuff in the Bible where it says thou shalt not, and the church is going, go ahead. But I'm telling you that in the love walk, or in the Doc talks about complaining, we're talking about offense. We're looking way too much like the world. When the world can offend you, you're looking way too much like the world. You need to be unoffendable. And you say, well, I don't know if anybody's that part. Then the Bible would be wrong when it says don't be offended. Amen. In other words, it's possible, but what are we doing? Are we like, I don't need to be offended, Elisa, so quit doing stuff that offends me. No. Because notice here, we'll read these two scriptures. Luke 17, and if I just, I'm going to make mention of this, it says, it's impossible, but that offenses will come. So in other words, if you're waiting for everybody to line up where they're not offending you, you'll be waiting a long time. Because it's impossible, but that they're going to come. You got to walk in this. We've been talking about that. Keep yourself clean. Keep yourself right so that offenses don't take their root in you. But in Matthew 24, verse 10, again, the passage of Scripture is talking about end time characteristics, the characteristics of the world in the end times. And it says, "And then, at this time, shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." Time out for a second. So, if the word's true, and it is, as we get closer to the time of Jesus' return, the world around us, including religion, is going to become more offendable. Now, some of y'all years ago may have thought, okay, that's interesting, and moved on and just wondered, how can we get more offendable? How about social media? You know, you better be one of those people, if you're on social media, you better be one of those people that you don't get offended very much, because if you do get offended, you're probably going to get offended. And social media, man, the rise of social media really gets you the understanding of, oh, okay, now I see how people could become more offended in the end times, become more self-centered. Because just because you have the ability to tell everybody what you think doesn't mean you have the mind that everybody wants to hear. It's not, anyway, just because you have the ability to say something doesn't make you right. You have the right to state your opinion, it doesn't make you right. And everybody thinks just because they have the right to state their opinion that it makes them right. All right. But it says, in the end times, many... I wonder if there's going to be very many of this. Yeah, many of them are going to be offended and betray one another and hate one another. False prophets shall arise, shall deceive many because of that, because of iniquity. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Again, this is offense is a love issue. Because we talked this morning about when you get covetous, Your world gets really small. I think it was during the offering that you know you give generously and your world gets bigger. I think is the Message translation. And then you withhold more than it's meat, and it gets smaller and smaller. Why does it get smaller? Because it involves this little 2 foot, 3 foot circle around you, and that's all that matters to you. And that's what's happened, is that it's a love issue. People are offending you, so I just protect myself. So the love of many will wax cold. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. So he says that in the end times, don't be surprised. I love the fact that Jesus goes and says, here's what's going to happen in the end times. And then it happens and we're like, I never knew. This is the weirdest thing in the world. How did this ever come to pass? No, Jesus said it's going to come to pass. And one of the things he says is that people are going to get offended real easily. Now again, he said this is what's going to go on in the world. This is what's going to happen in people where their love waxes cold. It's not to be happening in the church. I preached a sermon years ago that don't let the spirit of the times get in the church. And that this fits that category. Don't let the spirit of what's going on around us get in these doors. And I know that we can go with sin, we can go with all the stuff. Don't let it in here. Don't let it be something that we accept. Oh, we love the dickens out of the people that are in sin. But don't let the sin be something that we learn to accept just so that we can get a bigger crowd or get more people. Don't let the spirit of the times get in here, which includes offense. Don't allow it. Don't think, oh, but I have a reason. This week, Apostle, he spends the afternoon, now it used to be where him and, usually him and Philip, would just tag team over the course of the week and just talk to pastors about being pastors. Now we do it a little bit different. We do it more where, dad will get a topic going and then people will share. But this week, a lot of what he's talked about was he's talking to pastors, Holy Spirit gave him certain things to share. And, I was talking to him on Saturday morning. Went out for breakfast. And he's like, I don't know that anybody needed what I shared. It was what God put on my heart. And I'd be like, well, apparently we all needed what you shared. There's little things that we had. But one of them that he said, I know he said it on Friday. But he made the statement. He said, one of the reasons that like pastors mess up and pastors, go sideways in their ministry, is because they think that rules don't apply to them. Like the things of the Word of God don't apply to them. In other words, I've been talking about on Sunday morning, I talked about it this morning, that I can tell you to tithe, but well, I'm a pastor and my finances are different. My finances are different. And so if you guys really understood how my finances were, you'd understand I can't really tithe, but you guys all, man, you know, you guys got it easy. You're not dependent on givers and people to sow seed for your increase. You guys got it easy. And so it becomes that the rules, the things that God has set up, doesn't apply to me. I'm different. And I started thinking about offense as an area where people have tendency to believe. Now, again, he was just talking about pastors, but I was like, man, that goes with anybody. I was meditating on this, that point came to me that there's too many people that think, well, that doesn't apply to me. You don't know what this person did to me. You don't know how this person looks at me. You don't know what this person says to me. You don't know the volume. You don't know the tone of voice they used when they came after me. If you knew that, you would understand that it doesn't apply to me. It doesn't apply the same to me. And that's the thing, is that when God didn't put any disclaimers on don't be offended. He didn't put any disclaimers. He didn't say, "Holy, don't be offended unless." Just don't do it. Now again, Luke 17 says, hey, you're fooling yourself if you don't think offense is going to come. But see, here's the thing. There's three stories, and I'm not going to really spend as much time. They came up in me as I was preparing, just kind of going over my notes tonight. Like I said, I was ready for stuff last week, and then because of the snow, we didn't come. But the three stories that have been really, really close to me for a little while, and it's because I taught them on Monday at the Word Advance, and the first one that I thought of was Daniel. Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, the four Hebrew children that were taken out of their homeland, brought into Babylon, brought into bondage. They were smart, they were handsome, they were sharp, they were very intelligent people, and so Babylon wanted them to be a part of their kingdom. Now we understand that the first thing they did was they changed their names to Belshazzar, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And again, I'm saying that their purpose of that was to try to get them to redefine or try to get them to where they forgot the God of their ancestor, where they came from, their God, all of their names, Daniel and Mishael, the last two letters in each of them was El, which is the name of God, El, and Hananiah and Azariah have the ending of their Iah, which is like Yahweh. It's the Yah sound in there. So all four of them had Yahweh, had God in their names. So the first thing they did is they changed their names, and they put God, they put the gods of the Babylonians or the Chaldeans as their names to try to get them to understand, don't trust him anymore. You are a new person. You are a different person. You can be your own. You can be your own person. And they tried to get them to be defined. Now again, I shared that on Monday. So that was the first thing they did, because they wanted to get them to depend on their own way. But they said, no, we're going to depend on the ways of our God. We're going to eat His food. We're going to do what He tells us to do. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah said, we're going to stand when everybody else bows to the golden statue. Daniel said, I'm going to pray when you told me not to pray to my God, because I'm going to talk, because that's where my source comes from. God's my judge, not man. And so they stood and they made it very clear. But it seems like Daniel rose quicker, rose higher, rose a little bit above where Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were. And you know what? Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah could have said, that's not fair. We're in the same group. They just happened to maybe talk to Daniel. They just have, Daniel just may have been in the right position. If we were in that position, we'd have been the ones that became the spokesperson for our group. And we would have been the ones that would have been president and one of the top presidents and not just one of the low, the next level of leaders. We would have been the ones. That's not fair. That's not right. And they could have gotten offended at Daniel. They could have gotten offended at their God. They could have gotten offended at those around them. But you know what? They were more concerned. Can I throw this out here? And it's kind of like what Doc was saying about complaining. And just it'll stop the flow of God. If they would have gotten offended, they would have fried like taters. Now, I want offer this to you. I want to give this to you. They could have stood in the middle of the crowd and made a stand. And said, we will serve our God. And walked away murmuring, complaining, being offended by, maybe this will teach Daniel a lesson that he's not the only one that can be a big shot and all that kind of stuff. And they'd have walked right into that thing and that would have been the end of their story. And he said, I know about that, because that's what offense will do. Offense gets you tangled up in it to where the power of God, the things that God wants to do, He can't do. Because you're stuck in a trap. That's the term offense. Offense is a stumbling block. Offense is a trap. It's like a bear trap that clamps you down and keeps you and will kill you if you stay in it. I was thinking about David when he came to the front lines to bring food to his brothers. I'm fascinated with that, and I'm fascinated with how Goliath came out. Goliath said, "Here's what we're going to do." Now, again, it wasn't uncommon. I shared this on Monday. It wasn't uncommon for two armies that were entrenched in their positions, because you don't want to give up your positions, because if you get a good defensive position. Where you're there and anybody that comes in, you get it. It was not uncommon for them to finally say, all right, we're going to bring out our chieftains or our leaders and they're going to fight and whoever wins that battle will yield. So it wasn't unusual, but that there's no place in 1 Samuel 17 that says that's God's idea. Now God used that idea. He found one man who would believe in Him. But what we see at the beginning of 1 Samuel chapter 17 is we see Goliath making the rules. And we see every man in Israel hiding and concerned about his stuff. And I was thinking about it. Again, these just came to me. Two things. First of all, when David came in and goes, what does the man who beats him get? I like the fact he knew God so much, he's like, hey, if this is how it's going to be, I can beat him by myself. But his brothers were offended. Now, why were they offended? Because they were amongst the ones going, I don't want to die to that man. I don't want to be the one, the pressure that's going to bring all of Israel under captivity. I don't want to do that. They were focused on me. Focused on themselves, and so they got offended. You're just a little punk kid. Came out here just to see us cry, see us whining, seeing us. That's all you are. They were offended. And it's a good thing they didn't go to the battlefront. Now David's going, what do you get? What do I get? And they start attacking him. And it could have been really easy for David to go, that was mean, guys. Don't you know words hurt? Don't you know that hurt my feelings? I know God told me not to be offended, but I'm not bound to what the rules don't apply to me, right? And he could have gotten himself offended. I thought about this. I thought it this way with him. David could have gotten offended at the mean words of his brothers, except he was too busy running towards the enemy. He was too busy talking about the covenant he had with him and his God. And he was so busy doing that stuff, he didn't have time to get offended. Which tells me, if you're a person that gets offended real easy, you're spending too much time listening to what other people say about you and say to you than you are listening to what God says about you. If you spend more time talking about what God says to you, thinking about what God says to you, you're not going to spend nearly as much time focusing on what everybody else says about you. Amen. But see, if David would have gotten tangled up in the offense of what they said and the offense of, I'm not a little kid. Leave me alone, man. Why does everybody call me a little kid? Don't you know that hurts my feelings? Don't you know that's mean? I don't like it. And he would walk, he would come stomping up to Goliath going, did you hear what they said to me? Goliath would have cut his head off and Israel would have been in bondage. He didn't have time for offense. And because of that, he had victory in his life. How about one more? And again, these are the three stories that I've just been thinking about. And so when I sat down and I was just putting the finishing touches on my message, you're going, but you're starting with these. This is finishing touches? No, these popped out of me because I talked about them Monday. And I've been thinking about them for several weeks. But Mary, from Mary and Martha fame. How easy would it have been for her to get offended at Martha? When Martha's going, Jesus, my sister, because you know it wasn't her first time. It wasn't the first dirty look that she'd given her. Martha was probably been standing back there going, because eventually she's like, Jesus, will you tell her to get over here and help me? I've got dozens of people in this room that I'm trying to feed, and she's just sitting there. And she's getting offended. And Mary's going, I don't care. I'm sitting at his feet. I'm listening. And Jesus goes, yeah. Can I throw this out there? You can be offended and fight your own battles. Or you can do what Mary did and let Jesus fight them for you. Isn't that the coolest thing? Jesus shut Martha up. The verse ends. She doesn't talk back to her. He goes, hey, you're concerned about a lot of stuff over there. It's cool. But you're encumbered about by many things. What Mary's chosen is important. Is the most important thing. Come on. Sit down here. Sit and see why she likes this. Jesus fought. Jesus defended her. So you can defend yourself by being offended and being, I'm not going to talk to that person anymore. You need to let Jesus get involved. Mary did it again, though, because I think it's Luke's account, maybe it's Mark's account, where Mary is identified as the one that brought the alabaster jar and broke it over the head of Jesus to prepare him for burial. And we know, Mark says that it was the disciples that chimed in. John says it was Judas that was, and they're like, what is she doing? And you know, it says they're murmuring, and she could have gotten offended. What does it matter to you what I give? I felt like I was supposed to do this. I felt like I was supposed to, and she could have got, instead, she let Jesus once again defend her, and her gift is a gift that is still talked about today. So these are just pictures, though. These are three episodes of people that could have easily stepped into offense and it would have stifled exactly what God wanted to do in their lives. And that's just the picture of what I'm seeing, is that the enemy wants to get us all tangled up in offense, and if he can get us tangled up in offense, then all the visions that we've seen from Moorhead, the passion that we have for seeing revival in Moorhead, the desire, the growth that we believe in God for, the financial increase that we're believing God for, all those things that we've gotten words on from God, they're just going to be words. They cannot manifest where offense is. We got to keep that spirit out of the church. Now again, the point here I want you to get here as we step in, I'm not going to go a long time on this. I can't, because I've got 8 points I want to get across. And some of you got real nervous all of a sudden. Oh my goodness, Pastor Thad. But the point of offense is to get you all tangled up in stuff, like a trap that you can't get out of. And I heard one person describe it like this. They said offense is like an octopus. And, you know, the thing about an octopus, now again, I've never been captured by an octopus. I've never really seen an octopus. But octopus have, octopi, thank you. An octopus has, there you go, we'll just, has 8 tentacles, octa, 8. And aren't you thankful God just gave us 2 hands? And I know sometimes you're thinking, well, I could really get by. But if you had 8 hands, your children would have 8 hands. And I can't imagine Savannah having 8 hands. 2 of them are more. I mean, I'm glad she has 2 of them, but it's enough. That's enough. If you're being attacked by an octopi, an octopod,
what are those
things? Yeah, an octa, an ocho cinco. If you're being attacked by them and you can get 1 hand free, the other hand's coming in to secure you again. And if you can get, you got 2 hands and you're, no, you're not going to get me now. They got 6 more to come in at you. And this person said that they saw a fence very similar to an octopus, with the tentacles, where it's coming at you in different areas to come and attack you in different areas. And if you don't deal with it, if you don't get rid of it, and again, it's by the word, it's by time with God. It's not by not trying to get offended. I really want to, I mean, that's good. That is the revelation the Holy Spirit has given us. And I hope that you hold on to that, is that you're not going to get rid of octopuses. You're not going to get rid of offense by trying not to be offended. You're going to get rid of offense by getting into close relationship with God, loving on Him and spending time with Him. That's the only way you can do it. What happens when you try not to be offended is that you get frustrated because you get offended. And you're like, I was trying not to, and I got offended, and it's not fair. And it's like, but you did it anyway because you're trying to do something by trying not to do it. And it doesn't work. You've got to fill it up with the Spirit of God, with the presence of God, with the love of God. You've got to fill it up in that area. Spend time with love. Perfect love. Spending time with perfect love casts out all fear, and offense is based on fear. The foundation of offense is fear. Man, I'm teaching here. I got to get to these 8 points. Taylor will just have to be on his toes, because when we hit some scriptures here, he's going to have to go quick here. So I want to talk to you, and again, I'll do my best. I see what time it is. I'll do my best to go as quick as I can. If I don't get in deep on things, I don't think I have to get in deep on things, because these really do speak for themselves, is that the enemy, these are areas where the enemy tries to get you trapped, he tries to get a fence operating in these areas, and you may be focusing in this one area, and it'll come at another area. The first area, just to kind of give you an idea, is so in other words, these are 8 different areas where offense will attach itself or attack you. And the first one is the mind. And again, I think this is not just the first one. This is the primary one. It is the big one, because he tries to convince you. Go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. I got to guard myself because when I was preparing this, I tried to get other scriptures in there, and I may make reference to other scriptures, but we'll amen. Praise God. I am me. I'm a teacher, so I like information. And so that's what I got here. Romans chapter 8, we're reading verse 5. And of course, we know what Romans 8's about living by the Spirit. But it says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded, fleshly minded, which means that you're focusing on fleshly stuff." If we had our chart up, which we don't need to pull it up, but if we had our chart up, the Spirit, soul, flesh is circumstances. So if the circumstances, someone looking at you, doing something mean, doing something, if that's what's affecting your mind, it's a carnal mind. If you're making decisions to do things in your life because of, what am I going to do with my money? Well, you never know what's coming around the corner. I got to make sure I protect myself. I got to make sure I have this. And all your money, all your uses of your money comes based on your circumstances. Again, you're going, so I shouldn't do that? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying that ask God what to do with it. The first thing he says, bring the tithe. Second thing he says, sow seed. And then after that, it's kind of like he'll say, yeah, put this much back. Have you ever, he'll let you know what to do the other 90% too. Put this much back, pay this much on this, pay that, wait on that, watch this happen, put a little seed on this, or something on that order. But when you're fleshly minded, your mind is on fleshly stuff and making this, so when someone offends you, you are, it's attacking your what's going on in the flesh, the look, the statement, the comment, the whatever is coming at you in the flesh and affecting your mind. So he says to be carnally minded. Means you won't get as much harvest. It's worse than that. It's death to your harvest. Are you following me here? This is what offense does. Offense is a trap. It's a snare. It's something to get you caught in that if you don't take care of it, it will destroy you. And here he says to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and irene, shalom, peace. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity, separation against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. So they that are after the flesh cannot please God. So again, we're seeing here that that when the enemy attacks your mind with thoughts, I mean, again, this is the first place it comes. It comes to try to convince you that that what somebody did was against you, that what someone did is going to hurt you, what somebody said to you, how somebody looked at you is going to affect you, and it attaches its little suction cups. Attaches itself to your mind, to your thoughts, and it begins affecting your ability to process thoughts. I thought of the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, where it says, "I have not given you the spirit of fear." Again, fear is the foundation. It's the center point of offense. "I've not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love." Power. Think about these three things. Power. You can change your circumstance. You have the authority, you have the power to change your circumstance. Love. Love means you don't have to get offended. You can operate in love towards what somebody has done to you. You don't have to fear. You don't have to fear what they said to you, what they did against you is going to affect you. You can operate in love and walk in power and defeat it. And a sound mind. This is one of the biggest things when you're in offense. When somebody does something dirty to you and you step over into offense, this is one of the main areas that happens because when it attaches itself to you, it keeps you from processing, understanding about what to do. When you're offended, you're not in your right mind to operate in that situation. In other words, if Pastor Elisa is offended at me, it doesn't matter what Pastor Thad says. Now, we'll get to this in a moment. It doesn't matter what Pastor Thad does. She's always processing it as, it's against me. He doesn't like me. And it may be, Pastor Thad might be going, hey, could you go get me a cup of coffee from the kitchen? And she's like, I wonder why he didn't offer me one. Well, I didn't offer anybody one. But I know, but I'm his pastor, you know, buddy, and I'm his right hand woman, and he, why wouldn't he think about me? And it's like, why? He just needed, you know, you're not preaching. You could go back and get yourself one. It wouldn't that make sense? But that's what when offense hits your mind, you're not thinking straight. You're not, your sound mind is not there. And God said, I've given you a sound mind. I've given your mind an ability to process that. So when you keep offense out, it keeps your thought processes correct. That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verse 5, what does it tell you to do when thoughts come that you know aren't right, you know are trying to trap you? Cast down vain imaginations. Cast down those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God that you know is not right. Amen? All right. So the first thing it's trying to attach and attack you with is in your mind. The second one is your sight. Proverbs chapter 29. Proverbs 29 verse 18. We know the scripture, where there's no vision, the people perish. That he that keepeth the law, happy is he. So when you don't see the word of God, when you don't see what God is saying, you're not hungry after the things of God, the enemy can easily change what you, contort what you do see. If your eyes are on the word of God, it's really hard for him to mess with your eyes. But when you're not in the Word, where there is no vision, when you're not in the Word of God, it's really easy for the enemy to bring his own pictures in you. You start seeing things. You begin seeing things that are not there. You look at, Pastor Thad goes on Facebook and posts a picture of a picture came up on my memories today of a bunch of the, Taylor and Todd and Nick and a bunch of those guys at our house. Then years ago, we got a smaller TV and everything like that. And somebody can look at that and go, he didn't post pictures about me. He could care less about me. And you're reading things, you're seeing things that are not there. Right? And it messes with you. But when your eyes aren't in the Word of God, the enemy can start putting pictures that, well, Pastor, that man, he doesn't look at me the same as he looks at other people. When other people come walking in, he's got a spark in his eye. When he looks at me, he looks at me like he's so disappointed in me. You're seeing pictures that aren't there. Amen. You're hallucinating. Every post, every picture, every action is something that you see as a direct attack against you. Amen? And so offense shifts your vision from fulfilling what God has called you to do to defending yourself at every turn. Your vision isn't on, I need to help Pastor Thad fulfill the vision of this church. Now your vision is, Pastor Thad thinks I'm a dud. And you're way off. You're way off because it's affected the way you see it. I love Job's, in Job 31. It's a scripture that can pass you right by if you're not paying attention to it. But he said, I made a covenant with mine eyes that I would not look on a handmaid. In other words, I made a covenant with my eye that I wasn't going to introduce things into my eyes, my eye gates, that would come against covenant. That would present a picture that would cause me to stumble. Because if I get the wrong picture in my eyes, I know it's just, it's destined for me. I'm going to fall. I've got to keep the right things in there. So I'm going to look at my wife. The only babe I'm going to look at is my wife, babe, and she's going to be it, because I'm not going to look on anybody else because I don't want anything else in my sight. And I think that's one of the things that we've got to always make sure that we do in our lives. We need to say, I know, and now again, keep your eyes on the Word, but I know my pastor loves me. It, beloved, I'm telling you what, if there's ever a time where the enemy starts working you over, on me, because of me, like Pastor Ted doesn't love me, give me a text. Say, is everything good between us? I don't want to do that. I'd be embarrassed. Oh no, you don't have to be embarrassed. If there was anything that I ever even presented that was close to that, then I would say, I apologize, man. That's the furthest thing from, amen. So, but you got to watch that side, because he'll attach himself to you, and everything you see is against you. What do they call when you post something and you don't mention any names, you just make a statement on Twitter or Facebook? What do they call that? It's like I know Doc will see this, so I'm just going to put a statement about people that wear red shirts. And I know he's gonna. It's kind of a passive aggressive. What is it? Cryptic is subtweet. Subtweet is what they call it. Where in other words, there's underlying stuff there. And it's funny. You know, Pastor Thad says something like post something, and it's to lift everybody else up, but you see something underneath. You see something. Why? Because offense has attached itself to your eyes. You follow me on that. So you got to guard yourself on that. All right, number three. I got to move quicker than this. Your heart. Now, this is a huge one because, and the scripture is Proverbs 6. Matter of fact, we'll just say verse 18, because these are the things that God hates. And he says, a heart that devises wicked imaginations. So a heart that sees things that are not lined up. That's why God says, cast them down, right? But this is a very dangerous place, because once it gets in your heart, it starts affecting everything. Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasures of his heart bringeth forth good things. An evil man out of the evil treasures of his heart bringeth forth evil things. So the key is, what's in your heart? And if offense attaches itself to your innermost being and attaches yourself to your heart, and you start becoming fully entrenched in it, it'll start affecting everything you do. It will start messing up every little relationship, and I can't get ahead of on that. It'll start messing up you'll start talking mean, you'll start talking. Have you ever found yourself go through a stage in your life where you're a little bit meaner to everybody? And some of you, some of y'all are pretty sharp, pretty sharp. But there's sometimes, man, there's some of you that are soft-spoken, and if you allow it to get in there, if you haven't, good. But you allow it to get in there, and you're just a little extra mean to people. Why? Because from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You're a little more vicious to people. Why? Because from the abundance of the heart, a person that has good things in their hearts can bring out good things, evil things. You've allowed something to get deep in there that you need to get out. But it'll attach itself to your heart, and it'll bring bad things in there. So again, I'm moving quickly here. Number four, it's going to attach itself to your relationships. I've seen this happen way too many times in churches with the relationship between your pastor. There's people who would think in their whole life, I will never have another pastor, until offense attaches themselves to you. I can say this. Most of us know Pastor Jim Schreiner. And I'll edit this out before I ever put it on anything else. But Pastor Jim is just a nut. I mean, he loves you. But he's a nut, and he does weird things. But he's not mean. He's not vindictive. He's not anything like that. He likes to laugh and likes to. And if you're his friend, you're a target. You just are. You're going to be a target. He's going to come after you. Well, there was a group of there's a group in my dad's church of African American people. There's a good group of them. And they loved the church. They loved Pastor Jim. But Pastor Jim looked at whether it was the color of skin or not. That didn't bother him. He just used that as something to pick on people about. And it wasn't vindictive. It wasn't racist. It wasn't anything like that. But he would say stuff about skin color and how there was a pastor that was under the ministry, and he'd just say something about his skin color. Well, they all took it racist, and one by one left the church. And they allowed something, a person that they knew had their back, that loved them. They allowed something that the world outside, they allowed that to take them out from that relationship and ruin that relationship. Now again, you say that, but there's people, white people. I mean, they'll find something that the pastor says. Pastor preaching a lot about money. I'm going to a church that doesn't preach very much about money. I know my pastor loves me. I'm going to be by his side and tell, oh, he's talking a little too much about money. I don't like that. He's not promoting me as quick as that I should. I'm going to find a church that promotes me. And it cuts down that. That's what happens in marriages. When you're feeling you're always defending yourself to your spouse or whatever. Are you with me? You're seeing this. But it attacks your relationship. Proverbs 17, verse 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth and keeps it going on separates friends. Amplified says, he who covers and forgives an offense seeks love, but he who repeats or harps on a matter separates even close friends. Offense will eventually put a wedge in between you and relationships. I've seen children separated from their families, their parents, their loving parents, because everything, what they do is not good enough and all that kind of stuff, and that offense latches on and will mess up that relationship. Amen. All right, number five. And this, I really probably should have put this up there right after your mind and your sight, because it's your hearing. James chapter 1, verse 19. It says, wherefore, beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. And we know the importance of hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. But when offense attaches itself to you, everything you hear, everything someone says is mean, everything someone says is against you. What pastor preached is against you. And here's the key, and I want to throw this out here. I'm going to move as quickly as I can. I'm going to move quickly. When it starts affecting these ears, it's not going to be very long before it affects these ears. And eventually it's going to dull your spiritual hearing. See, here's what's going to happen is that when you start hearing and taking it, everything you hear is offending you. Here's the next step that happens. Lord, it's not fair that Beulah said that to me. It's not fair that she said that to me. I think she really was trying to hurt me with that. And then the devil comes in and he does his best God impersonation and says, you're right. She's wrong. You need to go to her and tell her that she needs to get her life straightened out. You need to go to the pastor and tell him that she's done you dirty and that she's messed with you and that she's done this. And it's really easy to fool you because it's gotten dull. Your spiritual hearing is getting dull because you've allowed it to come in these ears. Amen. So don't attach yourself to your hearing. Number six, and this is not a good one, and I think we've all heard, it'll attach yourself to your body and your health. The best scripture I have for this is in 1 Corinthians 11:28, where it talks about the Lord's Supper, and he says, verse 28, it says, let a man examine himself, let him eat of the bread and the drink of the cup, for he that eateth and drinketh in an unworthy manner, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. In other words, when there's offense in the body, when you've got stuff going on, some schisms and stuff like that, and some offense going on in the body, and you take communion, God says, no, that is, you're taking it in an unworthy manner. And then he says, for this reason, for this cause, because people have these schisms and these things going on in the body, there are many sick among you and many die. So in other words, the more you allow that stuff go on, it'll eventually attach itself and affect your physical body and hurt you. Proverbs 16:24. Says pleasant words are a honeycomb, sweet to the soul and health to the bowl, to the bones. When you don't allow offense in, it's just going to make you stronger and stronger and stronger. Amen. Number seven. I told you there's eight things. It's an octopus. We got to have eight tentacles, right? It'll attach itself to your time. Now, scriptures, Ephesians 5:15 says, and then see that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. You want to make the most of your time. You want to see your time redeemed. Ephesians 6, verse 2 says, honor your father and mother, which is the first commandments, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So when, again, you can say it like this, is that when you walk in when offense, you're not walking wisely, your time is not going to be redeemed. When you've allowed offense to come in between your family, your in your family, you are taking time off your life. Amen. Amen. But here's another level of that, is that when it attaches itself to you, your time, instead of being able to be redeemed and be used positively, is being consumed with trying to prove to everybody else that you're right, they're wrong, that you know, it's instead of going and sharing the love of God with people, you're sharing what somebody else did that hurt your feelings, and your time is being wasted instead of being redeemed. Amen. Instead of being about the Father's business, it's about getting even, paying back. All right, one more and then we'll wrap this thing up. Hallelujah. It attaches itself to your finances. Ecclesiastes 2, verse 26 says, for God hath giveth to a man who is good in his sight wisdom and knowledge and joy, but to the sinner he giveth travail, to gather and to heap up, that he may give to him that is good before God. This is all vanity and vexation of spirit. When offense attaches itself to you, you soon become bitter towards men and women of God. The apostles, the pastors, the people, and it's real easy to get even with them by withholding your tithe, withholding your seed. And it's not going to be very long before, well, if you ain't tithing, there's a curse over you. If you're not sowing, amen. And it'll start messing with your finances. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is, again, I thought about just passing without saying that, but I thought that's kind of too, there's a lot of information right there about how it does and how it hits you. And again, you might be thinking, well, I'm okay here and here and here, but the more gates it comes in your mind, your eyes, and you're talking about it, and it's hard to talk about, the more gates it starts involving, the more it's consumed you, and the more it consumes you, the more danger you're in. And it won't be very long before it'll start hitting relationships and start hurting your health and start hurting your time and start hurting your finances. And so we got to respect that. That's the reason that, as I was meditating on that, that's what those first three, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, David, and Mary, that's what came up in me, is that they kept it out. There is no record in their lives of it hitting them, and therefore David killed the giant. Daniel was promoted. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were promoted. saw the miracles of God, had testimonies. Mary was defended by Jesus, and we're still talking about her today. Because they didn't allow offense in, and therefore they rose above their situation and overcame their situation. Amen? Let's stand together. So that's just this area. We're going to keep building on that. Kind of get the feeling that maybe because we're doing this on a Sunday night, it's almost a different feel in the presentation of it. Sunday mornings are very much, I don't know, sometimes I get real preachified. Sunday nights I don't necessarily, I don't know. But again, that's just, we've got to guard ourselves. I think one of the phrases we use that what we do is, remember I used that illustration of, well, it doesn't apply to me. Or that rule doesn't apply to me. And again, it just hurt my feelings. I'm not offended, it just hurt my feelings. That's kind of like, I'm not going to Lexington, but I'm on I-64, going west. It's not going to be very long before you get to Lexington if you stay on that road. You need to get off. You need to take an exit stop. Come back to Moorhead, right? Amen. And so if you get your feelings hurt, you need to deal with that. Don't think that, but they've done dirty. Listen, man, Jesus hung on the cross. Jesus hung on the cross having been done. Ain't nobody in your life done you that dirty. And he didn't say, jerks. I wouldn't do this to you. He said, Father, forgive them. I refuse to hold offense against them. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you that you are the teacher. It comes through my mouth, but the Holy Spirit is the one that activates it in our hearts. And so, Father, just allow this word to really activate in our hearts, Father, that we can understand that where you're wanting us to go, we cannot go if we've got these things attached to us. And I know Doc is teaching on during the offering times about complaining. We can't go places if we're stuck in a complaint department. Hallelujah. You can't go shopping and get new clothes if you're just standing in the complaint department. You got to go in the store. Do shopping. And Father, we can't step into the blessings of God if we're holding on to offense. And stand in that area. Because it's keeping us from, it's stealing our time, it's stealing our health, it's stealing our money, it's stealing everything that we have. Because it's not your best for us. Hallelujah. Reveal it to us, show us if there's any of it in our lives so that we can move with a purpose towards the plan that you have for each of us. Hallelujah. We love you. We love you. We love you in Jesus' name.